Welcome to Finance Connect series of podcasts on the European asset finance industry, sponsored by Alpha Systems. My name is John Rees, and today I am taking the place of our regular host, Richard O'Donoghue. However, don't worry, Richard hasn't gone far, as in fact he's sitting on the opposite side of this microphone. Richard, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much for having me, John, on my own podcast series. So I'm not sure if I'm looking forward to this in that you have to do the work of asking the questions or whether I'm nervous about it, but we'll find out as the podcast progresses.
Exactly that. We'll find out whether it's either being a host or a guest, and you've got the privilege to be both of them today. Okay, so let's fire into this. You've been doing these all through 2025, I think, Richard. How many of these podcasts have you done?
Well, it's hard to believe. I was looking back, John, and we have done 18 podcasts. This is number 18, in fact. And we also had four compilations, one of which you were involved in when we were at the Leaders Summit in Amsterdam. And we did a sort of ad lib, I guess, just asking people very quickly for their impressions of the summit. So, yeah, four compilations. And this is number 18 of the full length podcasts.
Fantastic. I remember that very well. Yes, I remember some interviews taking place, or you doing some interviews at the end of the European Leadership Forum. Yes, I do remember that.
That's good, because I think you had a beer in your hand and it mightn't have been your first.
In fact, that's not rare to find me with a beer in my hand, Richard. So nothing new there, perhaps. So tell the audience, how did this all start? What was the idea behind the podcasts?
Well, I guess after leaving Dell, I had a little bit of time on my hands. And one of the people that sort of reached out to me was Edward Peck, who, as listeners will know, is the founder and CEO of Finance Connect. And Edward has a big network in the UK and very successful events based out of the UK. But he wanted to do something similar in Europe. And he particularly was interested in the vendor finance market and the captives market. So sat very much in my area, I guess, of expertise. And he asked, would I be interested in getting involved in helping, particularly with the Leaders Summit that was planned for Amsterdam earlier this year. And that's really how it kicked off. We were trying to think of ways to engage listeners before the summit. And we thought, let's try some podcasts. And the plan was we'd run them until the summit and then we would stop. But based on feedback and based on the number of people we met at the summit who were interested in participating, we decided to continue it.
And from a personal point of view, and I'm sure many people listening in, what a great decision that was from Edward to reach out to you, Richard. Your experience and knowledge in the European global leasing finance asset finance market is enormous, and I'm sure having your expertise and also your network of contacts involved in that European Leadership Summit was very useful. From what's happened since with the podcasts that have been done and the seniority of the people that you've got to do the podcast with you, it was obviously a very shrewd, very wise decision of Edward to get you involved. And I'm delighted that I've spent time working with you over the last year. Had you got experience of doing podcasts?
No, but nobody else seems to have in the industry either, John. So it wasn't a huge disadvantage. But it was funny when, you know, it took probably from when we discussed it initially to actually doing the first podcast. There was about a 3-month time lag. And during that time, you obviously speak to people and you mention that this is going to happen. And they all give you advice on podcasts you should listen to. And of course, you always say to people, oh, thank you for the recommendation. I'll make sure I do that. And then you don't. And the reality was, I'm a bit old school. I'm big into reading. And I had this idea of podcasts are cheating in some way that you know, you're not having to do the hard work of reading a book. So the reality was, I had never listened to a podcast before we recorded the first podcast. And it probably showed. But subsequently, a couple of people sent me recommendations and I have started listening to the occasional podcast. So hopefully I've learned from some people who are very good at podcasts and that will be reflected in 2026.
I think you're being very humble, Richard. I think you've done an incredible job to pick up how to host these podcasts. I think that's going to be self-evident from the review of the year that we're going to do today. And also the fact that you've got through so many relevant topics and with so many senior people. So I think you've done a fantastic job, and I'm pretty sure that everyone will be very enthusiastic and keen to carry on doing this as we go into 2026. My own experience with podcasts is very similar to yours. I'll be very honest now to the audience. This is my first go at being part of the podcast. And I'm very excited about that. I'm very happy about that. I haven't listened to very many podcasts until the Asset Connect podcast. I find that it's the sort of thing that people do. They sort of pair very well with things like walking the dog or jogging or having a walk along the seafront or something like that. It seems to be something that can be done as a complement to sort of downtime as well, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right, John. And one of the things I've discovered is, you know, particularly there are a lot of podcast presenters who speak relatively slowly, as do I, because you're conscious that it's a European audience. And for many people, English is not their first language. So I find I can listen to a lot of podcasts at, you know, 50% faster speed, which makes me feel that I'm way more efficient than I really am. And so, you know, a 30-minute podcast I can do in 20 minutes, which is about the amount of time I want to walk. But you're right. I mean, I think once you get into them, and if you find ones that are of interest to you, you do tend to become addicted to them. So again, you know, one of my colleagues in Dell recommended one called In Good Company, which is hosted by the CEO of the Norwegian Sovereign Wealth Fund. And I found that to be fantastic, mainly because if you're the CEO of the Norwegian Sovereign Wealth Fund, you can have whatever guest you like on the podcast, and he can get people like Michael Dell or Zach Brown of McLaren to attend, whereas I'm somewhat limited to the asset finance industry, but we still get very good guests, as you've rightly pointed out.
I think the we'll get to that when we go through some of the topics that you've covered this year. But I think the seniority, the diversity, the gender diversity, the nationality diversity of the people you've had on the podcast has been absolutely incredible, and the European focus of it has been very interesting. It's very easy to sort of default back to the UK market, because we know the UK market. As you said at the very beginning, the idea of this podcast was to try and develop this Europeanization of the asset finance, Asset Connect model, and to try and drive it into Europe. And I think by looking at the list of people that you've spoken to, you've absolutely achieved that. If this is okay with you, Richard, let's look at some of the core themes that you've been discussing this year as well. Lots of them will be familiar to people listening. Lots of them will follow themes that Finance Connect has run during its in-presence seminars, during some of its webcasts as well. But if forgive me if I say let's start with, because you may want to start with something else, but one of the first things you talked about, I think, was on sustainability and the circular economy. And I think, if I recall, you had great podcasts with Carmen Enni and with Martin Series. Could you just talk us through those topics?
Yeah, I mean, I think the year started when Edward and I first spoke about it. Everybody wanted to talk about AI.
Okay.
So we had, you know, Richard Houston at the beginning, probably second or third podcast, talking about AI. And then when we were in Amsterdam, we all encountered Allegra Patrizzi, who was using AI in very practical ways. Okay. And we had a subsequent podcast with her. But, you know, AI is everywhere. There's probably tons of podcasts about it generally. While, you know, it's clearly revolutionizing the world, there were other themes that I did want to focus on that perhaps, you know, we weren't hearing as much about for a variety of reasons. And as you rightly point out, you know, the circular economy and sustainability are topics that, at least in Europe, remain highly important. And I think will remain important, you know, at a future date in North America, where perhaps just for political reasons, you don't hear as much about it. So you know, I really enjoyed those conversations because, you know, in the case of both topics, I have an interest in them, but particularly with Martin, you know, he talked about aspects of that that I'm just not familiar with around how these refurbishment centres work, you know, how they remarket them, etc. And then Carmen's business obviously is based entirely around the circular economy. And what really interested me was a comment she made about she doesn't talk about the circular economy as her leading sort of talk track when she meets customers. She talks about the economic benefits and the operational benefits that it brings. So again, I think it's really important when we talk about maybe what are known as ESG type issues, that we put an economic lens on them rather than just talking about it's the right thing to do. I think that gives it far more credibility and makes it, you know, something that people are genuinely interested in.
Carmen, particularly interesting. I recall she was very excited. I can't remember if this was on the podcast or in a conversation I was having with her at the leadership event. She was very excited about the fact that she was a bank-owned business, but she just opened a refurbishment factory, for want of a better word, on the outskirts of Paris, I think. And it struck me as sort of, wow, we really are into an environment of second life, third life of assets when a bank, a 100% bank-owned business, was talking about their new refurbishment factory.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what's kind of interesting, and it sort of brings us into one of the other core themes, I would say, of the year, is it's how it all comes together. So, you know, Carmen talked about partnerships, as did, you know, someone like Bjorn van den Berg from Sandvik, who's the chair of the Captives Forum, and the importance of, you know, companies doing what they are really good at and maybe not doing everything. And, you know, our very sort of first podcast was with Mathilde Saint-Paul from Econocom. And again, you know, we talked about, you know, does Econocom want to take on captives? Does Econocom want to take on bank-owned lessors? Or do they see opportunities to partner? And I think that was, if you were to run an AI check on all of the podcasts, I suspect partnerships would be the thing that came through in many of them. Because what I found, and I guess it's a personal interest of mine, having worked in tech companies where we did partner with a number of different financial institutions and different service providers, what I found was that the opportunities in this industry for partnerships is enormous. And again, that's why these communities that Finance Connect creates are important, because if we can bring people together and they get talking to each other and they talk about their businesses, they will find reasons to be able to partner with each other and to deliver a more effective solution to customers.
I fully agree with you, Richard. It absolutely resonates. I recently hosted a breakout session at the Finance Connect Winter Conference, and we ran a session on partnerships, and we had banks, we had captives, we had OEMs all talking together, saying that together they could, in partnership, they could achieve so much more than they could individually. Easy example, the captive that said, we've no interest in getting banking license to operate in multiple European countries, we'll partner with a bank that already has those banking licenses. So I'm not surprised at all to hear you say that a theme that has come out throughout the year of all these podcasts, partnerships, is right up there as one of the most important ones.
Yeah, and I think if you think of other sort of areas we covered, you know, one that's of interest to me, because again, I spent a lot of my career going into new markets. And again, that's an area where partnerships are critically important for the reasons you've given. Not everybody wants to set up infrastructure in India. And, you know, we talked to Simi and Arnaldo from CSI about that. You know, equally, if you want to go into Africa, do you want to partner with Innovant, somebody like Bengayi Kumbula, who talked to us about what they do? Or in the Middle East, we more recently had Jara Regan of Altalease talking about the opportunities that exist. So I think even when we look at other broad topics like expansion into markets where maybe traditionally European players did not go, there's opportunities to partner as well. And I think, you know, that's something that, again, just bringing together people and talking about it will create opportunities to collaborate.
Yeah, absolutely. You talked a little bit about AI earlier on when we were going through these themes, and you've also had some, AI is obviously a very strong technology. You've had some very interesting podcasts with some of the technology suppliers to the asset finance industry as well during the year.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, our sponsor is Alpha, so they've been very helpful when we've wanted to talk technology. And, you know, we did one recently when there was an outage on one of the global platforms. And when we tried to upload the podcast afterwards, it didn't work. And that got us thinking about dependencies on cloud, etc. And Alex Barnes from Alpha came in and talked about how cloud technologies have evolved and how Alpha uses cloud technology. And in effect, Alpha's clients use those cloud technologies. So that was great. And then there was one that when I attended the what was then Asset Finance Connect Forum in the UK last year, one of the topics that was presented there was e-invoicing. And truthfully, I knew nothing about it. And so again, I sort of reached out to Emily Hammond and John Murray from Alpha and said, can you come in and talk about this? And I like those podcasts that, you know, cover an area that I have really zero familiarity about, because you learn so much about what's going on in the world and you feel you can ask really basic questions, whereas sometimes in an area that I'm more familiar with, perhaps I rush into, you know, more detail. And so it's nice to kind of go to a topic that you really have no background in and just ask the really silly questions.
Great. I think one of the other things that we all focus on a lot is at the end of the day, we talk a lot internally about the asset finance industry, but we have customers and we need to have customers. And without customers, we're nothing really. And I think you ran a session on customer services.
Yeah. And again, that was one that with Kirstine Wilson, who I had not encountered before, and somebody introduced me to her. And that was an area that we sort of all talk about customer service and the importance of it. But when you sort of get into the granular detail of what's important, what isn't important, and Kirstine's come from our industry and is now doing academic research into this area, it was just interesting to kind of get more of an oversight. You know, we all just assume you do these two or three things and it'll make you successful from a customer service point of view. And I think Kirstine kind of opened my eyes a lot to there's a lot more to it than just a couple of things. You know, the other one we covered, which if we'd been running a conference 5-6 years ago, probably 50% of it would have been around subscriptions or servitization, I think was the great word that we came up with. And yeah. It's kind of lost momentum. You know, you don't hear a lot about it at the moment. And so it was nice. Again, I met Jan Toutant from Black Winch at the Amsterdam event. And I thought, let's go back and revisit this topic. You know, has it really gone away or is it still active? And I think Jan gave a very good overview as to how the market has evolved and perhaps not as evolved as quickly as we would have expected, but it does continue to evolve. And again, you know, one of the things that I do like doing is bringing people in that may not be known in the industry. And again, on that whole subscriptions area, we had Bo White from LIT, which is a US-based company, albeit with people in Europe, that's doing a lot of as-a-service type projects, mainly with systems integrators, so the big global players. And again, it was just nice to get a different view as to a market that we don't talk an awful lot about at the moment, but still has huge opportunities. And again, I think it's always good when you can get fresh voices in and people who, you know, most of the listeners will not have encountered before.
And talking about fresh voices, I guess it's inevitable that you talk to some of the consultants that serve the industry during the course of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that you will know from your time in a big bank. I know from my time in technology companies, the world of consultancy does not always sit well with employees of banks or tech companies. And I think part of the issue is that you get a lot of consultants who come in who frankly know very little about our industry and give you very generic views as to what, you know, you should do. And what I do like about this industry is if you look at the consultants we had Klaus Strenge and Kurtu Pass from ZEB, and then we had Ian Robertson from In. The thing about this is if you take Ian, he's worked in the industry. He really understands the industry at a practical level, and he's able to apply that to, you know, his consultancy work. And with Klaus and Kurtu, they've worked with the industry rather than necessarily in it, but they've done it for a long time. So again, they have real subject matter knowledge. And I think that's what makes consultants in this industry different and very valuable. They can genuinely give you insights, whereas, you know, some of the bigger consultancy firms that come in, they really don't have those level of insights. And that's why, you know, even though I might tease them about their value add, the reality is I think the consultants in this industry really do add value simply because the depth of knowledge they have and the breadth of knowledge they have.
Yeah, I think they bring, because a lot of them, and as you reference Ian, lots of them are ex-practitioners. They bring practicality and experience to the consultancy as opposed to pure theory, which may be great as theory, but how do you apply that to the realities of our industry? And I think the good consultants, as you say, come from the industry and therefore come with this wealth of experience that they can share with their customers and clients. That's really interesting. As we said at the beginning, it's an incredibly broad, diverse group of people by gender, by nationality, by knowledge, by topic as well. I think that that's a really broad and interesting group of people that you've managed to. I say you've managed. How do you get these people to come and talk, to be honest? Are they always enthusiastic, or do you have to twist arms?
Generally, if they're people I know, it's like any relationship. If you ask them, people generally will say yes, particularly if you've worked with them in the past. And that's where most of the guests come from. But as the year went on, people will say, have you spoken to X? And they'll give you an introduction. And someone like Kirstine Wilson, I hadn't encountered, as I mentioned before, that was an introduction. And it brought me into topics that you know, I wouldn't normally have spoken about. And then you get people who actually approach you on the back of the podcasts. Ger Regan was an example where he had heard the podcast we did with Benagai from Innovant. And he had a slightly different angle to it and reached out to me and said, would you like to hear what's happening in the Middle Eastern leasing environment? So it's a real mix. And I guess if we continue with this, it'll probably move more towards introductions and people reaching out to me, because at a certain point, you kind of run out of contacts that can give you a different perspective, and you want to get different people to give different perspectives, because that's you know, where you get enjoyment out of it, but also where you add value.
Richard, I think if you've had people approach you, that's a huge plus for you, that people have actually listened to podcasts and thought, hey, I've got a point of view that I think the industry will find valuable, and have reached out to you. I think that's a great sign of the value and success of this series of podcasts. I've got to ask the question, has anyone said no?
A couple of people just don't reply. So I take that. It's like net promoter scores. I kind of stick them in the middle and don't count them. But there was only one where there was a definite no. And in fairness, it was before we'd started doing this. It was in the early days. And I probably didn't describe what we were trying to achieve particularly well. And I think therefore the person was reluctant to get involved. And I suspect if we went to them now, they would agree to do it. But I'm one of these bitter people that once you say no to me once, I don't want to deal with you anymore.
No, don't be like that. Let's give them another chance. Let's get them lined up for the end
we'll
of
try that.
Let January 26th, and we'll and then everyone will know who it was.
Well, that's true. That might be the introduction. At the second time of asking, I'm delighted to welcome.
I like it. You've talked about the sort of the people that you've interviewed and the knowledge that they bring. Have you learned things for yourself as well? You've been a practitioner in industry for a long, long time, working both in bank-owned and manufacturer-owned companies. Have you learned things yourself?
Yeah, I think you always learn from people just talking. And I mean, that's the thing with the podcast. We don't rehearse them. You know, we tell people in advance, broadly speaking, this is what we're going to talk about. But we don't script them or anything like that. So somebody will always say something that triggers, I didn't know that type of moment. And I think that's the really enjoyable piece. And because we're dealing, we talked about the variety of guests, we're dealing with a really diverse group of people that have knowledge of different areas. You know, you will always pick up something or a different perspective. And one thing I really like about this industry is people are willing to share. I mean, we talked about partnerships a little while ago. People collaborate in this industry, and if they have knowledge, in general, they're happy to share that knowledge if it benefits the industry as a whole. They're not going to give away proprietary information, but they'll talk about trends. They'll talk about what they're seeing in the industry. And that's the bit I really like. I love when someone comes in and says something that I just didn't know about. And the problem of that, if you're a curious person, is you do have a tendency to then drill into it. And you suddenly have to realize, okay, maybe, you know, listeners don't want to hear me talking for 10 minutes on a topic that's of interest to me, but maybe not of interest to the vast majority of people.
I think we haven't, as we've gone through the year, talking about all the people and topics that you've discussed. I think today, your last podcast went live, which was your interview with Andy Denton. And my understanding is that the thing you learned the most about from Andy, and this may have been in the outtakes, was his 1980s back catalogue of a vinyl that you and he seems to share.
Yeah, we. I mean, one of the nice things about them is often you just speak to people before the recording starts, or actually more often after you're finished. And generally you have a discussion about, okay, I hope that went okay. And depending, it's like any conversation, depending on how it goes, then it becomes a conversation on other topics. And yeah, I mean, Andrew was, we chatted about the Cure of all things. And he told me his, one of the Cure songs, Just Like Heaven, was in his top 10 songs of all time. And I'm going to see the Cure in 2026. You know, the thing I really like about podcasts is they are very human and they are designed to be a chat. And perhaps that wasn't what I realized or I didn't know before I started listening to them. And if you can get in that moment where it genuinely is a chat and a conversation rather than something that's kind of scripted,
yeah,
you know, you end up delving into topics and you learn a lot about the people. And again, that's what I really enjoy. If you were to ask me, what do I like the most? I love getting insights from people about things that I'd never considered before. Yeah. And I love particularly when those insights are personal, because then you start to understand what drives people, what motivates them, you know, why they do certain things. That's the bit that fascinates me about podcasts. And the thing that I've really enjoyed throughout the year is getting to know some people who I already knew but wouldn't have known personal aspects about them, and then other people who I'd never encountered before, and you learn a little bit about them as a person.
There we go. So we'll set you two targets for 26. One is to do your first podcast with the person who said no, and the second one is to do a podcast with Andy, and we'll see if we can get Robert Smith from The Cure to come along and join in as well.
Well, if I was the CEO of the Norwegian Sovereign Wealth Fund, we could probably get Robert Smith along, but I suspect that may be a bit challenging for Finance Connect. But John, if you know him, feel free to reach out to him and I'll be happy to do a podcast with him.
I'm not sure he's in my LinkedIn network, but I'll check anyway. I'll check. There's lots of Smiths, so maybe one of them's Robert.
Maybe
the Robert Smith. I don't know. So we've been. It's incredible how time goes. We've been chatting away for over 30 minutes. What are you up to next?
Well, I think, look, we have the Leader Summit Europe again, so the third edition of it taking place in March. And I think the plan is to do some podcasts prior to that to, again, set the scene for some of the topics that we're going to cover. We will undoubtedly go back to AI because it remains an incredibly important topic. I think we'll also look for maybe some new areas that we may explore at that event. And an area that's of interest to me in my kind of day-to-day work, which is now more working capital financing rather than asset financing, is private credit and receivables in general. So I think, you know, see a lot of opportunity for collaboration between the traditional asset finance providers and the people who play more in the trade receivable space. And I know Edward is building a community around the receivables market in the UK. So I think, you know, we'll delve into some of those topics prior to the event in March. And then depending on what comes up in the event in March and what people respond to, we may do some follow-up podcasts. And I'm sure we'll do a Vox Pop as well. So for anybody who's been invited to the event in March, be prepared to give us 2 minutes of your thoughts after the event.
And Richard, you can announce that event is going to run alongside the next European Captures Forum. Is that right?
Yeah, we're delighted. Bjorn van den Berg, who I mentioned earlier, who's the chair, and John Batty, who's the secretary, they've arranged that the Captives Forum will take place the day after the event. And what that means is we will have a big presence from captives at the event, which was one of our objectives. And it gives the captives and their funders the opportunity to meet and to connect and to talk about the trends that are impacting the captive industry and how people can partner together. So I think, you know, it's great to bring the two things together. Everybody has OpEx challenges. Everybody has time constraints. And to be able to bring two events together and allow people to connect without having to travel twice, I think, you know, we're delighted that John and Bjorn have been able to arrange this.
And deliberately picked to be in Cologne or Köln for the Germans. And that's a pretty accessible place for most Europeans to get to by train, I think, nowadays. So that's a fantastic event. I think, you know, if invited, because it is an invitation only event, is very, very well worthwhile people attending. Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. It's been a great fun summarizing the year with you. It's been absolutely privileged to have done some work with you during the course of 2025.
Yeah, well, firstly, John, I've decided it probably is easier being the host rather than the guest. So that's my first conclusion from today. But I'd like to thank you for playing this role. We thought we'd mix it up a little bit, and thank you for agreeing to act as the host today. And look, I'd like to thank all the listeners who've listened to all or some of the podcasts during the year, and particularly those who've dropped me notes or given me feedback. I really do appreciate that. Obviously, I'd like to thank all the guests who've given their time and insights and shared their views with us. It would be really remiss not to thank the Finance Connect team. There is a team behind this. There's a lot of effort goes into getting these up on the platforms, to editing them. And particularly, I'd like to thank Eva Lindsay, who's done the bulk of the work with this. And then finally, as you mentioned, you know, this wouldn't happen without sponsorship. So thank you to Alpha Systems for sponsoring this, and also for delivering guests to us on occasions when we wanted to talk about technology, and indeed for Andrew's participation, which was a podcast that, you know, just really I enjoyed it. We got a very different perspective of the life of a CEO. And look, we hope to be back in 2026. The plan is we will do some podcasts prior to the Leaders Summit in Europe. And thereafter, who knows how this will unfold. We are looking at ways maybe to change the format a little bit. So more to follow. But in the meantime, thanks to everyone who's listening today. And I wish you all a very happy new year and a successful 2026.